Welcome to this week's episode of the Geek Offensive Podcast. This week, I got to actually record out of state. One of my best friends and one of my favorite people in the world joins the offensive this week. His name's Sean Estrada. Known him since preschool. He works for the NFL. And you know what, folks? I'm not going to dance around it. He and I were really, really drunk on this episode. We try and play it off like we're just tipsy, but yeah, I'm going to be real with you. We were just drunk. At this point in time, at the time of the recording, like the Dodgers were still in the World Series. They had just won 6-2. Our guest Sean is a huge Dodgers fan, and we were just celebrating. And for some reason, I thought, like, yeah, it'd be a good idea to record right now. We're just drunk, and then we'll see what the fuck we talk about. But it ended up being a really fun episode. We just recorded in his apartment, so the audio is not going to be the same quality that it usually is. Normally, Wayland Productions, shout out to them for sharing the space with us and letting us use their equipment. You can find them at waylandproductions.ws. Normally, they help us out. But this week, I'm literally just recording off of Zoom, and basically, if you hear a lot of, like, echoing and some bumps on the table, because, again, we were really, really drunk and just, I guess, hitting the table too much, but having a good time. Yeah, so there's a little bit of a issue with the audio quality, but overall, it still sounds pretty good, considering. But anyway, yeah, this episode was hilarious. We only get to see each other like twice a year. And the first half of the episode is just us catching up and talking about how much we love the, well, how much he loves the Dodgers and how we grew up nerdy and what it was like pretty much growing up, both being jocks and being nerdy. And the second half of the show is probably the most interesting part. He also has a law degree. So we talk about superhero legalities and, like, you know, what our favorite superheroes do and would what they do stand up in court. So stuff like that. It's a really fun episode. I hope all of you really enjoy it. You know, I'll get to the plugs. Don't forget to check out the other two shows on the Geek Say What Network. There's Geekio, hosted by Justin Madriaga and Ish, and Ready, Set, Geek, hosted by Alex Gallet. And we all have our own Instagram handles. So each show has, obviously you can find everything on the Geek Say What Network, Geek Say What Network at Geek Say What. You can find the Geek Offensive's own Instagram at Geek Offensive. And you can find me, excuse me, at Justin Malari on Instagram and at Justin _ Malari on Twitter. I'm on other stuff too, but those are the two I check the most. So hit me up there. Anyway, this episode was such a blast and it was so much fun that I'm going to have Sean back when he comes to visit California. We're going to have him in studio. That way you can hear what he actually sounds like and we won't be as drunk. But anyway, enjoy this episode. It's my first out-of-state episode and I had a blast. So I hope you all really like it. Cue my music. But no, dude, tonight was awesome. Folks, if you're listening, oh, we already started recording.
Are we started?
Sorry, man. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I tend to do that.
fuck me, right? All right.
No, folks, we're, me and my buddy Sean here are still amped and
very amped.
Kind of tipsy from watching the Dodgers
pretty,
game.
Pretty tipsy. I'm not going to lie. I'm very buzzed, to put it conservatively.
Yes. Yeah.
We're also drinking some nice Makers 46. Cheers.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers. Out of Hamilton glasses, because Hamilton play, if any of y'all ever get in New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But yeah, oh, actually, hey, Sean, you have another honor to add to your long list of achievements. Is a
short list.
No, shut up, man. No, you were the first out-of-state episode.
No, really?
Yeah, so I've never recorded out-of-state. You're the first one.
Well, can we also let it be known that it is 12 49, just turned 1249. It is now Sunday morning, which would now be, the date is October 29th. So yeah. Justin and myself have been drinking literally since, what time was lunch? One thirty, one or two.
Time?
Yeah. So Justin,
I've been drinking since two.
Just up in the north thing. So I apologize. Justin is going to be professional as shit. Obviously, I may slur some words.
Have you not listened to the show? Is that?
Justin's always professional as shit. But I'm just saying, like, I get a little, and I'm still rambunctious from the big Dodger game four W.
Yeah, no, that was a big win. We were hoping that, like, when I came up, I had a work conference out in Dallas, and then I came up here to visit Sean right after, since, you know, I was halfway across the country
already. And right now, we are recording in my small-ass apartment, which is actually a lot of fun already. I mean, in the first 4 minutes we're doing this, it's a lot of fun already. I love it.
I visited Sean, so I'm like, I'm already halfway across the country. Let's visit Sean. And then the Dodgers were already in the World Series, and we were hoping the Yankees would have gotten their shit together. And, you know, maybe get in a fight at Yankee Stadium.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So, so Justin and myself, you know, Justin being his large Asian self, myself being a large Hispanic person, there's 100% chance we would have gotten in a fight.
Yeah.
Not that we would have started one, but you know.
We would have been wearing blue.
Correct.
We would have gotten in a fight. Someone would have gotten mad at us.
And also, you know, so Justin and I, some preface, Justin and I have known each other since 4 years
preschool.
Old. 3 years old,
maybe
4 years
three.
Old. 3 years
when
old.
When did we start preschool?
Preschool to 12 year to grade 12, which was the last year we graduated the same high school together, Survive High School. Shout out, Go Friars.
That was a long time ago.
Fuck. Yeah. It really is crazy. We've been great friends since.
Yeah, and then, like, both of us have come a long way. Actually, Sean, are you allowed to talk about what you do for a living?
I can, yeah. So, okay. I work for the CIA.
Oh, watch when you hit the table.
I work for the CIA. I've assassinated a ton of people. No, just kidding. So I work for the National.
It was only six. It wasn't a lot.
I work for the National Football League. I work in their management council. So we're in charge of enforcing all of the agreement that we have between us and the Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get in the weeds of some real boring shit real quick. If you'll stay with me for about 45 seconds. Yeah, so we're the ones in charge of enforcing what player contracts are right. We're basically there to make sure that no teams are cheating and no players are cheating on each side. Before people start hitting up Justin with fucking DMs about, like, oh, Brady, Inflategate was bullshit. I don't deal with any of that stuff. I deal with team discipline. So mm-hmm. a team fucks up.
Like outside of the...
Well, it's more like... So look at the team.
When it comes to contracts.
So it's both. So work rule stuff. So contract, they don't get dinged on. Contract will just say, listen, that's not a valid contract. Now they'll resign the guy the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's few and far between. But it's just small mistakes that we have to look out for. The more the team stuff that we do is like, hey, listen, you're practicing in full pads in the offseason, which we've legit had. I will not name teams,
mm-hmm.
but we've legit had that before.
It rhymes with
I'm not.
Blue Bork Bayans. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was whatever that team was that got blown up in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
With Hines Ward and all them on that field. Yeah. Oh, if you allow me my terrible Bane voice, what a beautiful voice. Remember what he said to the
yeah,
kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I do have a Bane mask somewhere on here. I'm actually disappointed in myself.
You had a Bane mask? Oh, you did do that for Halloween.
For Halloween one year. I was corporate Bane. So me and my roommate, so I was corporate Bane. He was corporate Joker. So he had the makeup on. I had the mask on. We showed up in full suits with the mask and makeup saying like, yeah, we get it. Batman beat us. We had to find real jobs. We were released from Arkham.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to find real jobs post.
Hey, guess they got reintegrated, like, you know, rehabbed and like, you know, reintroduced correct. To society. That's well, nothing
the,
wrong with
the
that.
The funny part was, so I think SNL did a great skit. Actually, I enjoyed it a lot. It was about it was the Hobbit staff. So I think the guy who played the Hobbit in the new what's his I'm forgetting his name. The actor who played the Hobbit in the prequel, the three
Martin
prequels.
Freeman.
Also, side note, there's no reason you need three prequels to the Hobbit.
No, that being in general, I think that's it. Actually, that's a funny thing I got to bring up too because this is kind of a rare thing growing up. I feel like it's weird, but you and I, we were both football players in high school.
Correct.
We were both jocks.
Yes.
But we were both extremely nerdy.
Correct.
And I feel like that's more common now, maybe, but like back then, that
back
was not.
Back in the day. So no. In this, I'm not sure. So did you watch Hard Knocks at all?
I know of the show.
So yeah, so this year, they one of the main profiles was... was one of their D. I'm forgetting his name, and I should know his name. I'm an idiot. One of their D linemen, who's a huge nerd. So he's literally had artists from DC draw him as. He's like written to him, and they've drawn him as a superhero. So he has one of his like he's like a little man cave he has.
Yeah, yeah.
From Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it literally is killing me. That once again, we've been drinking for over 12, almost 12 hours. I forgot his name though, but literally, and he shares it on Instagram all the time. He's amazing, and the artists are more than happy to do it. And he literally wears Superman socks in practice, and Batman socks, and Green Lantern socks, all this stuff. Yeah, not that I've realized I just dropped three DC things right there, but he wears Marvel socks as well.
Yeah,
in the end of things.
Well, he's in the NFL. I'm sure he could afford multiple socks,
and he's like a legit, very good player. So his contract is.
But I always get I'll sometimes get questions. It's like when I bring up a topic that I want to talk about on the show, people go like, "Well, that's not nerdy, Justin." I'm like, "Well, it doesn't have to be nerdy. It could just be how a nerd thinks, or your conception of a nerd is very close."
Correct.
Right.
Correct. So I feel like it's so like even now, even today, I'll be like, you know. So back when you were in a dating program, you're like Bumble and Tinder and stuff. It's like, you know, I'm nerdy. I'm on this stuff. And this
yeah,
stuff. And you're like,
yeah.
They think they're nerdy because, oh, you know, I saw the last Thor movie. That's nerdy. You know, that's cool. You know, I'm actually glad you saw that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. But like nerdy has such an old like, – so it kind of goes both ways, I feel. I agree. So like people look at you and I. They see these tall dudes.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right. These guys aren't nerdy. Like, you know, you have to have, like, you know, this, and this.
Yeah, I have but to be what? Wearing literally, like, a Superman shirt.
Yeah, right now, legit, Justin is wearing a pro Star Wars Empire tank top. I'm wearing my Dodgers tank top because it's fucking basically painted on me at this point.
Just to be clear, I am... Pro-Empire, anti-Sith. Don't bring religion into our government.
Oh, you know, bullshit. I actually like the Sith. Rule 2. The Rule 2 should be the fucking... All right, I'm 100% behind the Rule 2.
I just don't want religion in my politics, man. That's hitting a little close to home.
That being said, I'm going to do it. You know what? Jar Jar Binks should become a fucking... If Jar Jar Binks' son is somehow now one of the best Jedis, like Luke's been secretly training Jar Jar's son on that island.
Was this in the trailer that I refused to watch?
It actually was.
And then Han Solo's back.
So zombie Han Solo comes back.
No, I refused to watch like for like really big movies like Star Wars. I didn't want to watch the trailer just because I want to go in blind,
which is crazy. Yeah. I might have. So I texted Justin once the trailer came out. I texted Justin, and Justin just said, "Don't tell me anything." In all caps, "Don't tell me anything."
Yeah,
I'm going in blind.
Yeah,
which is bonkers to me. I don't know how. Listen, I've been hard since then.
Yeah,
my 2-inch dick has been hard since then. Sorry, I'm getting a little. Once again, I've been drinking for a while.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, since two.
You can't even count anymore.
Yeah, fuck, man. Okay.
Also, side note, fuck the Houston Astros and their racist ass asshole. So I'm not sure if any of you heard or watched the baseball game.
Sports ball talk for all you nerds out there.
Yeah, yeah.
The World Series.
I'm
going to
get
going
real
on.
Jockey real yeah. quick.
No, but the.
Hot takes no, coming
this
in
is
hot.
Shit. What the fuck is the guy's name?
Yuri Gurriel or something like that. Yeah, Cuban dude.
Yeah, this fucking
which,
asshole.
I'm a cool Cuban. One of our best players in the Dodgers is a Cuban guy. Obviously, you know, I love that baseball is this inclusive. You know?
He is not representative of the Cuban people. He's a piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah, he was doing the thing where he made his eye, he pulled his eyes thin.
He did
like,
the Asian eyes.
Yeah, he was making fun of a Yu Darvish.
Correct. So he hit a home run off of Yu Darvish, and then he did the Asian eyes when he was back in the office, back in the dugout. He didn't think anybody else would see it.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit. All right. And then also, they actually, like, this is how crazy TV and the internet really is at this point. They actually got him saying the word chinito while he's doing it. And I'm Mexican. Chinito is a very derogatory term that Mexicans would say, or anybody of the Hispanic heritage would say if they were trying to be racist towards an Asian person. So it literally translates to small Asian, but it's more of like, in the lexicon, it translates to like, you are not on my level Asian.
Yeah,
or
context, you are lower than me.
100%.
Yeah.
You're like a lower class than I am. Correct.
And then what's even worse is like kind of scary. And you know, I know Houston's supposed to have this story of like Houston strong.
Houston strong. And then,
but tonight at the game, when he stepped up, they gave him a standing ovation, and I'm like, why?
Well, it's the whole thing is like, listen, why would you ever? So listen, I understand as a hardcore Dodger Laker fan, like You want to support your people. Kobe, yeah. Kobe, when Kobe went through his fucking sexual stuff, the sexual scandal in Denver, like, listen, I still, when he came back for the game, I rooted for him, even though, like, listen, he may be a scumbag. But that being said, like, that was settled out of court. He was never proven anything. This dude legit on national TV was just straight up racist. Especially in what upsets me in today's political climate. Once again, this will take, I don't mean to fucking upset anybody.
It's a long form show. Don't worry. We got time.
But, like, fuck, people are getting emboldened by this, so they see this stuff, and all of a sudden, this guy comes with a bat, his first at-bat, so everyone knows, so he gets, also on MLB, bat on MLB, so they suspended him 5 games next season, because obviously everyone knows,
horseshit.
When your kid fucks up, right, and you discipline him, or him or her, you discipline him right then, instead of like, guess what, next Monday, you're going to time out bad.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so he's still playing the World Series, which is fine, because guess what, he fucking was 0 for 4 or 0 for 3, whatever his bitch ass was today, fuck him.
Yeah.
So he comes up to bat, and the entire Houston stands gives him a standing ovation.
It's like, for what?
Are you kidding me?
I would love to hear the rationale, because there's no excuse for it.
Saul Guerra did not die for this. Did not die on Jeddah for this, all right?
Sorry. But, no, he, you know.
But anyway, I didn't mean to interject, but that was...
Again, there's no format to the show. But, I mean, the Dodgers fucking beat the shit out of him,
which was nice.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know, fine.
Once again, as my Facebook post that I just put up at the bar, which I said, fuck racism, go Dodgers. So
there you go.
But anyway, Hispanics and Asian are standing hand in hand on this.
There we go.
On this thing.
I was not even really a baseball fan, but now I'm solely a Dodgers fan.
I actually just went there for the first time. That's true. That's true.
Earlier this year,
the Dodger Stadium.
Oh my! I had a blast. Yeah. I didn't watch most of the game. I couldn't tell you who was playing. I'm gonna guess half of it was the Dodgers.
So for anyone listening in Southern California, you absolutely need to make a game to Dodger Stadium next year during the regular season. They have these two awesome bars at each, so much fun. Right?
Yeah.
And like literally, people will sit there the entire time and just drink micheladas the entire time. But they have you get there early, it's actually funny. They've lined up michelada mixes just to pour the beers in, which is amazing.
Oh no, that's what
I'm not sure if you saw it or not.
No, that's what we did. What we did was my team, my work crew got there. I want to say an hour and a half before the game, and we were just drinking tall boys the whole night.
That's like, so awesome.
It was just...
Yeah. Welcome to Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, I'm...
Here you are home.
I'm just like, wait, is this what going to a baseball game is? I need to do this, like, all the time. This is a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I'm actually, Justin texted me that night. Well, he texted me originally, like, hey, I'm going to a Dodger game. I haven't been in a while, you know. Here it is. I'm like, all right, wait, when the Guggenheim took over with Magic Johnson as their kind of figurehead, they redid everything. And literally, it's the third oldest stadium in the thing. But anyway, you know what you need to talk about?
What? What do you want to talk about, Sean?
What are your thoughts on... I was gonna ask you Walking Dead question, but you don't watch Walking Dead anymore.
Oh, by the way, like Sean and I since Sean lives in New York, we only get to see each other a couple times a year. So this is us kind of catching up on all the nerdy shit we've been trying to ask each other about.
So welcome aboard.
Ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
So listen, Justin and I, last time Justin was in New York, it was for him and I both went to New York Comic Con
2015. Yeah.
2015, yeah. So 2 years ago, I was about 5 months into the city. I was brand new in the city still, basically. We went to New York Comic Con we had Friday and Sunday tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? So we missed Thursday and Saturday. But Saturday, like, I took Justin all around the whole thing. Like, we got drunk, obviously, because that's just what we always end up doing.
Yeah.
But it was a great time. One of the best. So there were some great things. That's back when Left Shark from Super Bowl Halftime was still huge. There were some Left Shark stuff. Amazing. Also, people were spending thousands of dollars in some of their cosplays.
Oh, yeah. It was so good. It's a passion project.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Remember that Phoenix? The one we saw? It looked legit like Jean Grey, full-on Phoenix. She had dyed her hair red.
Yeah.
This thing was skin tight. Like, Justin and I theorized that actually a costume designer paid for and then hired a model.
That's what it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It happens in that world.
Of course.
You can see photos from this trip on Geek Say What Facebook page, so go ahead and like that.
Subscribe if you can. Yeah.
Anywho,
Justin and I just went as
and,
regular.
And this was your first convention?
My first convention ever. Yeah, so I always wanted to go. Once again, Justin and I get stigmatized because we're both athletes, but we both love the nerd stuff. This is like, this is why. This is my bread and butter. This is what I literally come home to and unwind my day with.
It's a big reason that we literally stayed friends for so long. Yes, so few people can understand that kind of dynamic.
Correct.
You know,
coming off a football field and talking about the latest issue of you know, the new old man Logan. You know, that just came out. You know, so
or why all of a sudden my show started talking about like sports all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I did like a McGregor episode. And then, like, it was just kind of out of the blue. And I have to talk about this.
For sure.
Just, well, like, that's something I'm nerdy about, too. So I got both worlds.
Well, literally today, so Justin, just sitting here earlier on my sofa today, we're sitting here. So the game just, we watched the Penn State and Ohio State game end.
Which was crazy.
Crazy.
I don't know. Penn State just fell apart at the end of the
game. O-line. Yeah. As you said it yourself, what O-line?
Yeah, what O-line?
Yeah. The O-line was paper dolls out there.
Yeah.
But so Justin's like, oh, by the way, we have, you know, I can get a Fight Pass on my phone and we can cast it on Google Chrome, which actually Justin bought for me as a Christmas present 1 year, which is fucking amazing. Yeah, so we watched the fight. I forgot who it was. The two undefeated dudes. The dude got jobbed. The dude from Indiana got jobbed, in both our opinions.
You can't go to a decision in Brazil.
Yes.
And, like, come on.
Yes.
Like, unless you got knocked out like silly in the first round, like you're not winning
but
a
he,
decision.
Yeah. I think he was taken down once, and literally the guy who won, his best takedowns were reversals, I want to say, from what,
like, yeah, remember
that in the first round, remember that crazy one?
I mean, the other guy was, you know, controlling most of the fight.
Agreed.
Which was, you know, it's kind of a weird thing. I know there are rules changes, but, like, I'm pretty sure, like, judges
in Brazil or just in general.
So the unified rule, so I'm pretty sure damage isn't something you use to judge.
Yeah,
it's purely like octagon control.
Yeah.
Effective grappling, striking,
for sure.
And you know, the guy that won had some moments on standing up, but in general, like, he was not in control of the fight. He was defending for a lot of it. So,
agreed.
Yeah, that it was really confusing.
But anyway, that was So that's once again.
But when we talk, we go from that to then, like, oh, there's Neil Gaiman comment.
Well, it's no joke. It went from that to Justin seeing my bookshelf, one of my bookshelves, and seeing that I'm short on one Chew episode.
Yeah.
You know, and so Justin is the first one that got me into the Chew comics, you know, with Tony Chew, obviously. I thought it was one of the most underplayed things was Tony Chew. I mean, I realize it's super simple, but Tony Chew being the name and then Chew being the actual thing, what he does. So I'm short on one. So at this point, I've read it up until the point where they kill the vampire.
Okay.
Spoiler for anyone who's never read Chew.
I'll put it in the intro.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I went to that point. I know I'm one short, so I get the Copiendos, but it's one of the shorter Copiendos. So I'm into the six. It's like the Omnivore. I forgot what it's called.
Omnivore edition.
One of those ones. Like, yeah, it's right there on the shelf.
That's a thing I wanted to point out.
Okay, please.
Folks, like, you got, you work for the NFL, you've played, you had a brief stint in the NFL.
I used to play.
You got to that pro level.
Correct. Yeah, so I played in the NFL for the 49ers 2007, 2008.
Yeah. And then yet you still got comics.
Correct. So
filling up your shelf.
Should I do a rundown real quick?
Yeah. We got Usagi Yojimbo.
Usagi Yojimbo, criminally underrated among comic people. Like, it's literally, I love that. So I love that. The anthropomorphic rabbit, I love him so much. He's my moral compass. My moral compass. He makes me want to be, and believe me, I'm a hardcore Catholic, but he makes me want to be a better person. He's a talking rabbit samurai.
So
he
makes me want to be. It would go the Catholic Church, the Dodgers, and then Usagi Yojimbo. Yeah, right? Is that my understanding?
Well, just as long as we have the Houston Astro racist bitches on the other side.
Oh yeah. And then Neil Gaiman Sandman. You don't even have, like, I would call mainstream a lot of the mainstream stuff.
Yeah. Correct.
I pick and choose.
I'm kind of, to be honest with you, so. You know, Usagi Yojimbo and I with Stan Sakai, that was my first. My dad actually, it's funny, my dad came out to me as a comic book fan when he was, it's funny that we still came out with that.
Your dad came out as a comic book
fan? He's the one who turned me on to Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yes. So he has, like, some briefcases of ones. He's like, some of these you can't, they're like super, some of them are super adult, or like, because, like, they have, like, you know, people getting shot in the head. And there's, like, just a picture of a naked woman, like, illustrated and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. So So no joke, I had it. So Yusagi Ojima was one that was my basically was my my lead-in drug, if you will. It was one that, that got me into the. And so I was lucky enough to date a girl in law school who was a huge Neil Gaiman fan. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about him. I've heard of his movies and stuff. So I know Coraline at that point was a movie. Stardust at that point was a movie. You know, so some of his works were movies. So. Right. She got me into the Sam. She showed me one episode. It was the episode. So now I have the giant books of Sam. I have the entire series. And also, I love the Overture. So we came out with the Overture 2 weeks
ago. And folks,
ago.
It's not even like the regular paperbacks. It's like the hardcover edition with the cases.
They were $150 a piece. Like, literally, in law school, I had to save up for them.
Yeah, Sean went all in on this. Yeah.
Well, because I had to catch up, you know? And if I'm going to catch up, I'm going to catch up with it. Like, I want to catch up so that I can give to my kids one day. Mm-hmm. You know, like something like, listen, this is like, you can read these still. And also, they were all, every single piece of the artwork was redone to digitalize, like, and look better. So Neil Gaiman, in my opinion, is the best storyteller. I realize he's British. He's the best storyteller. I still claim America because we beat them in two different wars. So technically, he's American.
Undefeated. We won.
And he lives in America now. Yeah. I think he's American. I think he married his second wife, Amanda Palmer, I want to say. Yeah. So, yeah, undefeated. And also, I just saw Hamilton last week, so I'm feeling very patriotic.
Very cultural. Very cultured. Very patriotic.
But literally... It's Sandman. I think to this day, I still tell people it's the greatest story I've read from start to finish. And I really there's parts in there like I don't want to give a spoiler. I gave a spoiler already, but there are parts in there where I was legit with like on tears. And also, so Justin, look at this. So I have a picture this here.
There's artwork up on Sean's
wall. Artwork on my wall. So it's catty corner to the Mike Tyson sign. Mike Tyson. So once again, to juxtapose our jock and nerdiness. One corner of this room right here, I have a Mike Tyson signed frame from his Punch Out Nintendo
old game. Right, yeah, yeah.
Where Mario is the judge for some reason. Sorry. And then, so next to it is literally one of my favorite Neil Gaiman quotes of all time that he wrote down. It was, so it says, there's this giant monster, giant blue monster with this big club, and there's this little, like, princess below him in gold. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, and Chris Rydell did this. Chris Rydell actually, I think he illustrates Neil Gaiman the best. So he actually never did any of the Sandman stuff, unfortunately. But right. He has done a lot of Neil Gaiman's short stories.
Okay.
Just illustrated-wise, you find him on his Twitter page, all this stuff. He's literally, I think he understands the tone of Neil Gaiman perfectly. Like, those two should make a comic book. Make a comic book at some point. So the quote is on the picture. A world in which there are monsters and ghosts and things that want to steal your heart is a world in which there are angels and dreams and a world in which there is hope. Like that to me, like that's like literally, especially in today's political climate with the fucking monsters we have running this government right now, like this is it gives me hope every single day. I love seeing it every single morning.
I fucking love hearing this because I mean, most of our buddies back home, they just know you as like, oh, you work in the NFL now.
Correct.
That's it. And that's all they see.
That's always the ex-football player. Ooh, you know, that almost defines you. You know?
So folks, like I said, Sean and I played together in high school.
Correct.
Sean was like a big star. Got recruited by Ivy League school.
I was a mild star.
Well, you were good enough to fucking get recruited.
Correct. Correct.
And
correct.
Then yeah. And then you
also let it be known, Justin and I both played O-line, which is the grittiest fucking position. It's the thing where no one ever recognizes you unless glory. You fuck up. Correct. Yeah. Correct.
No glory. You're hitting every play.
You eat the shit. You eat the shit. And you. But that being said, you come out as the toughest motherfuckers out of that school, and I think you'll agree with me on that.
Yeah, but we also, I think D-line came out as
D-line
more like
subbed
meaner.
Out. D-line gets right. subbed out, yeah. Like fucked out. You play O-line, every game as an O-line.
No, but O-line is like we were also like.
If there are D-linemen out there listening, you're all pussies. I'm just kidding.
No, but O-line is like we were also the nicest guys.
Correct,
the field.
Correct, and also the smartest. To be honest with you, even so, we talked about this earlier. So we have. We have some great friends who are still playing in the NFL. Ryan Khalil plays for the Carolina Panthers. Matt Slater plays for the now Super Bowl champion.
Yeah,
he's won two rings.
He has two rings. How crazy!
And his dad. So his dad's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Jackie Slater. If anyone wants to look at it, Jackie Slater, one of the best O-linemen of all time, playing for the Rams. The one Super Bowl they went to when they were still in Los Angeles before they moved back.
Yeah.
Him and Vince Ferragamo lost the Super Bowl, but he's still considered, no joke, to this day, one of the best left tackles of all time.
He had a 20-year career.
Correct.
Like, which is insane. That's unheard of now.
Are you kidding me?
That is unheard of.
I played a year and a half, and my knees are fucking ready to fall off.
Yeah, what's the average length of a career now? Two years? Two seasons?
Two seasons is the average career.
Fucking crazy.
So if you look at a Super Bowl team from 2 years, or 2 or 3 years ago, over half of their team is already replaced.
Jesus.
With guys like myself who are just trying to make a squad.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I think.
So back you to your and point.
I, yeah.
About the, yeah. Yeah.
You know, to be honest, okay. I'm going to be real, folks. You, Sean and I turned out pretty well. Like, we had a good upbringing.
We did well. Correct.
Yeah.
Our parents were all stars.
Yeah.
You're looking at four all stars for mom and dad for both of us.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we ended up pretty well.
Yeah.
And then so you went to, from there you went to UPenn.
Went to University of Pennsylvania.
Which is an Ivy League school. You went to the best business school in the world.
Went to Wharton, which unfortunately Trump went to, but Trump paid his way in, so it was all right. I earned it in through sweat and blood.
Exactly.
So I was captain of the football team my senior year, which was 2007.
For a while you were going by Sean O. Ivy.
Which, I mean, I still go by. I obviously contemplating actually changing my name to that. As you can see on my other wall, I have multiple plaques of myself playing football.
And then from there you went to the NFL.
Correct. So I went to the NFL for there. 2007-2008, 49ers.
Yeah.
Knee got hurt. Played in the Arena League.
Oh, by the way, folks, quick note. The first game I ever went to just watch. Like, I've been a 49er fan my whole...
NFL game.
Yeah, I've been a 49er fan my whole life. The first 49er game I ever go watch is the one Sean's playing in.
Which is, was it the Raider game?
It was a Raider game at Candlestick.
My second game playing in at Candlestick, the old school Candlestick. I was so happy. I got to play on the fucking field that Jerry Rice caught touchdowns from Joe Montana and Steve Young. Like, that was...
And then I was like, I get to see my best friend out there. And I'm like, I was just like, holy, it was surreal.
It was amazing.
I could not believe it.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, also, just to be honest with you, it was special knowing my dad and one of his best friends, who I still call Uncle Dave, was in the stands too. Knowing that my dad, Uncle Dave, and Justin were in the stands that day, like it, and we actually won that game on the last second. I was in on that play. We won.
Yeah,
won the game on the last.
No, you popped your
second.
Chair.
I got a touchdown. Correct.
You got a touchdown drive.
So I was playing center at the time for them. Yeah, we got a touchdown drive. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there you went to the UFL, which is
for the UFL, which is Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, defunct now. Yeah. So Mark Cuban started the league, trying to be a AAA league. I was supposed to go and play in Europe for NFL Europe. Then the NFL folded that league. I was supposed to go to the Barcelona Dragons. That league folded
up. You were
going
to the Barcelona Dragons?
So
Holy shit.
It does me 6 months paid for by the NFL for me to live in Barcelona, which would have been epic.
Yeah.
Epic. And then that closes like, oh, fuck, right? Oh. So then it happens to work out where I get so the AFL, the Arena Football League, at that point was still, you know, paying very well. They're still a thing now, but they're kind of just not paying what they were. So,
of course.
So my last league I played for the San Jose Sabercats.
Okay.
We lost. We went to the Arena Bowl that year. Lost to Bon Jovi and Ron Jaworski's team, the Philadelphia Soul, in New Orleans. And then next year I was going to resign back home, which would have been awesome. We're going to play in Staples Center because Arena Football is played in basketball things, basketball stadiums. Pardon. But then we get this thing from our player rep, our union rep, being like, hey, they're going to fold and try to restructure everyone's deals. When we agreed to it, it's like, all right. But they were restructuring your deal for like a fourth of what you're supposed to get paid.
Fuck.
So I was like, screw that. Like, I'm not, like, my knees are already so fucked up. Like,
Yeah. And this is one thing I wanted to ask you. Like, so from there, between there and you eventually got your law degree at Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
So, like, what was the time period for there? Yeah. Because I was still living in San Francisco at the time.
Yeah, correct. So. You were, yeah. So I finished UFL. Once UFL said repay that, I paid 1 year, went to the UFL, paid for the New York Sentinels in the UFL. Then, like, knees just weren't getting better, so I decided to say, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but, like, once you, like, because that's kind of your whole identity. Like, you're the football player. Like, it's what you do, you know, like.
I even remember how you got started playing full contact. It was because we were a holy family. This is elementary school.
Yes, great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Justin and I, once again, we've known each other since preschool through 12th grade.
Yeah.
But there's three different schools involved.
Correct. We went through
Montessori
school together.
Correct.
Preschool
correct.
Through high school.
Correct.
But we've known each other since preschool.
So the whole reason I got involved in tackle football was because I was cut from The flag football team. My sixth grade year, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the year I started playing tackle.
That's when they started letting us join.
There were two people cut. I was one of the, and it's BS. I was a starting power forward for our basketball, our JV basketball team. So it's not like I was this like unathletic person.
Yeah.
So what happened was I hated the coach of our flag football team was the Miss Trainer. She was our math teacher. And her and I did not get along.
Oh, they were dating.
At the time, they're married now. His name's Bill Gates. Not the actual Bill Gates, but his name was Bill Gates.
Oh, okay.
And so he cut me from the team because I had challenged his wife in class one day.
I will give her this. She was kind of hot.
So, yeah. So that's what turned me into tackle football. And then went from there, there, there. So after football is over, fast forward. I bartended in Huntington Beach, California, in Orange County, where Justin and I are both from. Bartended there for 2 years while I was taking the LSATs and everything else like that.
Yeah.
And then I worked for... worked for the DA's office. I loved criminal law. Love criminal law.
Yeah.
Which actually
you were studying this. Yeah.
I was studying criminal law. I loved. No, you're good. I was studying criminal law. I loved it. Worked for. I actually had to sit through some murder trials my first semester. My first summer as an intern. My first internship was with the gang homicide unit in Long Beach.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I sat through some Mexican mafia murder trials. You know. So no joke. I love it. I start to my day. My first job offer ever was so I'm in the courtroom early. The lawyer I'm working for and the defense lawyers are both with a judge in chambers in the back talking about today's proceedings and stuff. So no joke, it's just no one's allowed in the courtroom yet. There's no jury or anything.
Okay,
it's the Mexican mafia people. And it's me setting up the I'm the intern still, right? So I'm setting up today's like exhibits, like what he's gonna go through. And so this guy, I won't say his name because he's still in prison. So he looks at me. He goes, La Raza? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm Mexican, correct. There's an LA sheriff in there. They handle the stuff. You know, he goes, La Raza? It's like, yeah. He goes, oh, I could have used you. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, I could have used you in Pelican Bay back in the day. You're a big guy. So I'm 6'4", 250, right? So I'm 6'4", 250 pounds. He's offered me a bodyguard. He goes, anytime you're in, if you ever end up in, tell them you know me, and then they'll follow you right to me. So my first job offer outside of the NFL ever was to be a fucking Mexican mafia bodyguard in prison. Yes,
and you're qualified.
I mean, I mean, yeah, I lift weights, so I'm qualified.
Yeah, and then okay. So now you're at Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. So I worked for. In law school, loved this year's attorney, went to Arizona. Justin visited me in Arizona.
That was by far one of the most fun weekends I've ever had. That was my most fun Halloween I've ever had.
Yeah, so we upset University of Arizona, upset USC. That it was homecoming. You came out for it.
By the way, it is cheap as fuck to like party out there.
You can get hammered in Tucson for $35.
Yeah,
get hammered. Like beer's like 75 cents. Here you go.
Yeah,
you
know? I spent maybe less than $100 that for that whole weekend. It's crazy.
So Justin stayed with me on my sofa at that time. Also, he had a great picture on his Facebook, on his personal Facebook. So we had so
you
much
guys
stuff.
Have the most interesting living room I've ever seen in my life. Because you have you got the big screen TV. I'm like, that's fine.
Hold on, let me say one thing before you tell it. So there were three of us moving in. All right, at the same thing. So we had a bunch of extra shit that roommates had left us.
So
I'll go ahead and let you explain it.
So. Yes. They gave me the couch to crash on, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then, like,
sofas.
Yeah, sofa. Stuff, yeah, it's fine. TV's there. I'm like, okay, normal. House. You guys are sharing a house.
Correct.
And then on the wall behind it is a picture from one of the earlier Harry Potters of Hermione.
I think it was the first or second.
Yeah, one of the early ones.
Chamber of Secrets.
Sean's getting beer.
Sorry.
And then on top of that, for some reason, are just deer antlers.
Jesus, I'm spilling shit. Oh yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
I'm just like, what the fuck is? What's going on here?
There's deer antlers. There's those legit.
And that's literally the first thing I see. And then after that, Sean tosses me a beer. And I'm like, and it's 10:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh, fuck, okay.
Welcome to Tucson.
Yeah. And that seems
also,
to be...
Also, no joke, we also had Selena Kyle.
That's right. Yeah, I totally forgot about
was,
that.
Yeah, it was what's the actress? I forgot her name all of a sudden.
Anne Hathaway.
And Les Mis. Yeah. So Anne Hathaway as Selena Kyle was one of our posters on the wall. So
yeah, you guys had random posters all over the place.
My whole house was so in love with how much Tom Hardy played, how great he played Bane. Mm-hmm. We literally one of our contests was how long we could stay in Bane voice with each other.
Oh man, but that was a fun weekend. Oh man, I there's a good chunk I don't remember of it, but that seems to be the theme when I visit you.
Yes.
Anywhere
we
like,
drink.
Okay, oh, for example, folks, this latest visit, I had a work conference in Dallas, and
correct,
I came straight here.
Right.
And you'd think like, oh, okay, meet me at my apartment, you can drop off your stuff, get settled, then we'll go out
Thursday night.
Yeah, not even that. No, it's like all right, Sean, I just landed. Where am I going? Meet me here. And it's the fucking tavern.
I met, yeah, so.
They're called the Cornerstone.
No joke. He landed at JFK. He goes, hey, I have an Uber. Give me an address. And I was like, shit, all right, I'm still drinking with my coworkers. Like, because it was Thursday Night Football. I went to watch it. This and also.
This is like 9 o'clock already.
This one tavern has beer towers for $25 during Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. And like, so yeah, so you had been drinking
since course,
like 4.
I feel like I'm losing money if I leave this bar at this point.
Yeah, so I'm there just with my fucking luggage and like we're just
it was great. Literally, I met him outside, picked up his luggage, helped him carry it inside, we put it in the corner, and it was just let's go.
And then it's been night after night ever since.
3 days later, we're still for sure, we've been drunk more than we haven't.
Yeah. No, especially today. We started drinking at like 2.
Also, yeah, we pounded. There was a wine bottle of sake. It gave us each 7 shots.
Yeah.
Of sake.
So and we were having beers in between.
Correct.
So and then we went to a bar to watch the Dodger game. Jesus Christ! Like I'm surprised my liver hasn't literally just like climbed out of me and walked out the door like and said fuck this fuck.
There's just actually, you know, that's actually, it may still be outside.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. But let's get into some legal stuff right here.
That's it. Okay, so this is the thing I've always wanted to bring you on for, and like, eventually down the line, we'll bring you into the studio and do this.
When I'm back home in Orange County,
yeah, we're totally going to do this. Yes. So, like, you got a law degree, and you're studying criminal justice.
Well, so I get a law degree, then I also had I got an extra honor for, because I did so many criminal classes. So yeah, so I like a special criminal class.
Perfect. Yeah. You're the most qualified person I know to answer this.
I love criminal law. It interests me so much.
I've always wondered about all the legalities when it comes to our favorite superheroes or favorite movies. And, you know, I'm just like, let's start simple. Okay. Let's go with Batman.
Yes.
Would anything he does, like catch a criminal, let's say he just catches the Penguin and then ties him up and leaves him for the police.
Correct.
Would that hold up in court at all?
So Batman's such a special case because...
Okay. Let me set up a specific one. So
please.
People.
Please.
So it's like, oh, we find out the Penguin's been stealing stuff from local jewelry stores. Yeah. Batman catches him, ties him up, leaves him there. And then police find him.
Very similar to The Dark Knight when he goes to China and gets the guy and brings him, the money launderer.
Right. Would any of this hold up?
Well, here's the thing. So, like, yes and no. So, Batman is such a special thing because the government actually uses the government in the auspices of the DA's office and the police department uses his sign. You know, when they put the light up in the sky, the bat signal. So that all of a sudden gives Batman this. All right, I now have the state and the city are culpable now.
Ooh.
For that.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is this. All right, so you know, Batman obviously has no. He's the greatest detective of all time. Uh-huh. You know, so he has no actual superpowers.
Not just in the movie, but he's used. In the comics, people use the signal. Even in that case, at least, it's like the state's doing something.
So at that point, especially because it's on top of the freaking police station, right? Most of them, you get Jim Gordon turning it on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So because that you're now under at least partially under the protection of the state and the police department, the county and the city and stuff.
Really?
But that being said, so there's this thing. So if I'm gonna tie someone up, all right.
Okay.
If the police don't have a case against them already, they're fucked. Because there's this thing called the comfort, at least it's colloquially referred to, sorry, once again, I'm slurring my words because I've been drinking.
We've been drinking all day, folks. So the fact that he's having this conversation is already a miracle.
Justin talked me into this podcast only because the Dodgers won. And we slammed fucking whiskey shots and we're like, all right. And he's like, by the way, we should record tonight.
By the way, shout out to Bart Coastal and Greta.
Bart Coastal. They hooked us up. Greta's the best. 78th. If anyone's ever in New York, 78th and 1st, Bar Coastal, best bar in New York, in my opinion. I love them. But it's also, I live a block away, so I love them a ton. Anyway, so they're fucked. So there's this thing colloquially talked about as the confrontation clause.
Okay.
So if Batman... So let's say the state had a case against this person and all of a sudden they were shut. All right, that's fine. But if Batman, as the greatest detective of all time, only has all the evidence, he actually has to in the way state constitutions and the actual constitution, the U.S. Constitution is talked about, you have to actually unmask yourself. So the confrontation clause is you have to see who your accusers are. You know, so if you were sitting there, so let's say it's Batman in court in his full costume, mm-hmm. saying he did this, and this, and I saw it. All right, the judge is going to say this is all jury. He wouldn't even allow a man in costume to take the stand.
Right.
You know? So he'd be like, you have to take off your costume. So all of a sudden, he ruins it. He's Bruce Wayne. We get it. All right. Yeah, so if Batman wanted to come out as Bruce Wayne on the stand, he could. Otherwise, these people are free to walk.
That kind of explains why they're in and out of Arkham all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so he's not even really like...
No, so...
He's very temporarily helping.
Correct.
Oh my God.
So the thing is like, all right, so once again, so Jim Gordon and the rest have to actually have a case against this person before... Actually, I have to have a proof outside of what Batman has done.
Okay.
Because otherwise, he's going to out himself as Bruce Wayne, which negates him wearing a mask in the first place. He doesn't want to hurt the ones he loves, right? That's always
right.
his impetus, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's insane.
So that's a confirmation clause.
And that kind of goes for any, like, masked superhero.
Any masked superhero, yeah. So, okay. Like, you know, Flash or whoever else you want to talk about right there, you know, that's kind of... Or in the Iron Man. You know, obviously, everyone knows, at least in the Marvel universe now.
Who Iron Man is.
All know who... Also, didn't Iron Man die of cancer in the comic books?
I'm sure one version of
it. Originally, I think...
Comics get weird. Oh, wait, okay, with the confirmation clause. So, could Superman get away with it? Because he can say, like, I'm Kal-El, I'm
Superman. Superman could, because... There's nothing. The whole thing is you can't shadow your. So I don't know. Each state is different on this, but as long as you're sitting there and you can say you're Superman, because obviously the story with Superman is no one knows he's actually Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Which is always hilarious to me because I mean
you could tell.
throw your he's just muscular guy. So I mean technically Superman can show up and be fine. He'd be fine. He's like, this is Superman. Everyone knows it.
My real name's Kal-El. I came from
Krypton. From that, and that'd be under the legal system we have now. That'd be fine. Batman would not be. You'd have to unmask yourself just because once again, it's one of these things where you can't. I mean, it makes sense. Like you have to know who's actually accusing you, mm-hmm. right? So if Bruce Wayne in the guile of Batman was like, yeah, I saw him commit this drug deal, you know, this. So like going back to the Christian Bale, I will always have the Christian Bale Batmans because in my mind, those are the best fucking Batmans that are there.
The live action movies.
Correct. Yeah. Fuck Ben Affleck. Yes. The Christian Bale ones also were great because they made it actually real. Like there are no superpowers involved at all. You know,
that's what the writer David Goyer likes to do. Play it straight.
And also, I love the director. I'm blanking on his fucking name.
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan also did one of my favorite movies of all time. Still is one with him and Hugh Jackman. The Prestige. Prestige.
Yeah,
I love that movie so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's done a great job. Inception, obviously, I will, you know.
Okay, so, anyway, going back to the actual thing.
Superman
even Wonder Woman would be okay.
As long as you're unmasked.
Yeah.
You know, that's about you. So Wonder Woman comes from a different world also. But the thing is, so you're getting the Superman now. So we're talking about, like, liability in terms of who deserves a city, if you don't want me going this road.
No, keep going, please.
So if Superman goes towards the city, right? So let's say he's fighting General Zod, or you know, whoever was he's fighting.
Whoever,
you know, yeah, evil Superman. I forgot what his name was when it was like the. Anyway,
Nuclear Man.
So there are certain legal documents. So he could be very liable for all these. You know, you're causing millions of dollars of damage.
Yeah.
In this thing, you know, and I realized, like, you know, the new Batman versus Superman tried to like catch that angle and be like, you know, and actually, to be honest with you, so did Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Civil War in the Marvel Universe actually did the same. You know, be like, you know, we have to be accountable to someone type of thing, you know. Also, Civil War, if I could do a tangent, pissed me off so much. Because I wanted these people to actually hate each other. Now, all of a sudden, it ends with fucking Tony Stark getting a text from fucking Chris Evans being like, if you ever need us, we're fucking there. All right, fuck you, motherfucker. All right, listen. Like, also, it pissed me off. I literally, once he saw, what's his name, down, his boy who got robot, and I realized it was a tie into the Doctor. I like this. Side note, I liked the touch where in Doctor Strange, he's driving on the highway before he gets in the crash, and he's like, oh, we have this Air Force general who needs this. And they were obviously talking about Don Cheadle's character.
Mm-hmm. War Machine,
thank you. But anyway, so I would have loved once, if Marvel had balls, they would have done this. Our man lands when War Machine's fucked, right? He's like, he can't move his thing. And the guy with the wings, Anthony... Falcon's there. If Iron Man just kills Falcon right there, that's when it's like, fuck, Marvel has balls. They're fucking...
Oh, yeah.
If Tony Stark just kills someone because he's so pissed because his friend got killed, I feel like
that's what they're going to do in the next Avengers movie. Somebody's definitely going to die. That's what I feel like is going to happen.
Also, speaking of dying... Side note. This last game of this last season of Game of Thrones was bullshit. The only fucking major characters dying were fucking what's his name from fucking Harry Potter, the guy who played the fucking clerk in Harry Potter. He was the house of
Harry Potter.
He killed Jon Snow. Once again, I'm drunk. Can't remember his name.
Yeah,
he killed Robb Stark and a mom. The fucking what's the house name?
Oh, the fucking Squib. What's his name?
Yes, thank you. The Squib. Thank you.
I can't remember.
His name. So the only major deaths this entire season were that, the fucking dragon, and fucking Beric Don. Beric survived. It was Tauros died.
Tauros Amir, yeah.
Yeah, Tauros Amir died.
Oh, man. That was a. See, folks, this is what I mean. Like, we only see each other a couple times a year. We got to catch up somehow.
But anyway, so back to the Marvel thing. One step before that. So I would have much appreciated if Tony Stark had just killed Falcon right there.
Yeah.
Be like, fuck you. Like, he was so pissed because he sees his friend. And also, it was a cop. I'd be like, oh, you know, Falcon now can walk. The War Machine can walk because he has robotic legs now. All right, sweet.
He's still team split.
Basically, what I've heard is that, but then I thought the text message at the end. Negated the entire movie.
It's because Captain America is such a nice guy.
Fuck Captain America. Fuck him. Agent Carter is a much more interesting character than fucking Captain America was. All right, so fuck him.
Oh man, like the Geek Say What Network is like half of it is loving you, half of it is hating you.
Yeah, hate me.
Love it.
These are the takes that fucking the everyday Joe has. All right, Neil Gaiman for life. Side note. But yes.
Oh, man.
Also, I mean, there's a reason Joss Whedon left the fucking Marvel Universe, because the fucking...
They didn't want to, like... It was getting too safe.
And that being said, Age of Ultron sucked. I will say this right now. It was the exact... In my opinion, once again...
Okay.
You can hate me for this, but in my opinion, Age of Ultron was the exact same movie. The exact same formula. And also... Quicksilver, how could they have such a terrible... Can we admit that Magneto or is Quicksilver Ravage's white father? Like, this is...
Because
of legal issues, I realize they can't do that. But this is why I love Marvel. This is why I love the Fox. I grew up X-Men, so I will always lean towards X-Men 100%. And I love that in Days Visit Future Past or whatever that movie was called, that they actually alluded to Magneto being... Quicksilver's father. Yes.
Here's the weird thing about Age of Ultron, though.
Yeah.
It gets better on a subsequent viewing.
You're right.
It's the weirdest thing, because I remember like thinking it was okay when I first saw it, And then I watched it again, and I was like, why did I like it more that time?
I feel your expectations are down.
Well, not just that, but it's just like, I was expecting so much. And then like, I kind of know what's going on. So it's also, like, I can pay attention to other stuff that's going on.
Wait, no, once again, the action is fantastic. I will say, the actual Joss Whedon is great at that. I will always love Joss because I'm a huge Buffy guy. I go back from I've watched every single Buffy episode multiple times. I love Buffy a shit ton. I still, to this day, want to marry Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Wait a minute. Speaking of that. Okay, legality. Okay, so Slayer is out killing vampires.
Okay.
Cops.
Catcher.
Here's the thing. If she
But there's
kills,
no body. There's no body.
That's
the crime?
What I'm getting to.
What's
like,
the crime? Yeah.
There's no... She killed... Like, there's just ashes. So, I mean...
There's no crime. If they see it, well, listen.
Let's say a cop sees it.
Okay.
She stabs a vampire. Like, all the cop can see is, like, this girl fighting a person.
So...
She stabs him, turns to dust, and a cop sees all of it.
This is what a DA would say.
Okay.
Where's the body? There's no body. What's the crime? The cop's gonna say turn to ash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like the DA is gonna laugh. Like, all right, they'll look into it, but like, literally, so the biggest things are motive, body, weapon.
They'll be like, get the motive, fuck out
body,
of here.
Motive, body, weapon. What is your motive to kill this guy? She never met him before. Who knows who he was? Because there's no body. There's no ID to actually see who he was.
Fuck.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So they were actually.
Also, we talk about how secretly lame Giles was the entire time. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so. Also, it's kind of funny how her. I mean, most of her. I will say this, though. Side note to the side note. Your listeners are going to hate me.
No.
One of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my entire life, single episodes, was the Silence episode when the Creepers walked in and the entire thing was silent.
Yeah, it's called Hush.
Everyone loves
that episode. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, but so to your point, there's no body. All right. So you have a weapon with a stake, all right?
Yeah.
And you have no motive because you don't know who the person is.
Right.
So how do you... So there's a thing called mens rea and mens actus.
Okay.
So they're Latin terms. I'm fucking trying to think of the thing. Is once again, we've been drinking for a while. Mens rea is the actual, like, what is your... Why did you commit... It's the motive, basically. Why did you commit the crime? To put it better, and for any lawyers listening, I apologize for butchering this. Once again, we've been drinking for a while. So mens rea is why would they commit the crime? Mens actus is did they actually commit the crime?
Right.
You know, and so did they actually commit a crime? If all of a sudden... It's very tough. So in the Buffy world, how does the DA sell to a jury they killed someone when there's no body? Who do they kill? Someone who raised out of the grave that was already dead.
It's like, excuse me.
But,
like,
but
that
even at that
dead,
point,
yeah.
let's say some police guy was like, I saw her strike someone.
Mm-hmm.
How do you sell out to a jury? Jury's gonna be like, are you fucking kidding me? This police person should be taken off the force. You know?
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's... Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. Like, lawyers and, like, everyone in the legal teams in those worlds must be pulling their hair out.
Correct.
They have to be making and passing new laws all the time,
They're saying, all right, you killed... Well, not even passing new laws. No one's going to believe the police person. No.
Oh, that's right.
It's not going to happen. It's like, listen, you killed someone. Okay. Where did the body go?
Yeah.
You're telling me some spectacle, some suspect DA is going to be like, wait, so you're telling me she stabbed someone in the heart and it turned to ash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
No jury's ever going to believe this, first of all. And second of all, so you need a body, one, to identify, to create mens rea, which is why would that person do the crime? And then mens actus, actus rea, in terms of like, so she actually did the crime, okay, but once again... Is there proof she did the crime? Because there's no actual body
Jesus
there.
Christ.
Yeah, so Buffy gets away scot-free, actually.
Yeah, oh,
all
wow.
The time,
okay.
All the time.
Okay.
Big ups to Sarah Michelle. Sarah Michelle, if you ever listen to this, my name is Sean Estrada. What's up, girl?
Freddie Prinze Jr. ain't shit.
Yeah, oh, they're divorced now. They're divorced now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She saw that was a great movie, but yeah.
Here's one. So I was reading Hush from DC.
The
Batman story. Like, so there's a point where Poison Ivy controls Superman and makes him do stuff.
Okay.
So how would that work? Who's held responsible? Let's say, I forgot how it goes exactly, but let's say she takes control of him and makes him, you know, rob a bank or makes him kill somebody.
Okay.
Like, how, who's held responsible? So he, how do you, what does he have to do to get out of this?
He'd have to prove outright that she was in control the entire time.
Okay.
So let's say it's in the DC world, right?
Okay.
So at this point, I'm assuming jurors and DAs, everything else, sorry for burping, jurors and DAs are used to this phenomenon happening.
Okay.
So they may be more used to buying the story, like, yeah. Literally, everyone knows who Poison Ivy is. You know, she does this, exactly. And this, you know. So that'd have to be up to his defense team to actually prove that he was in control. So
before you get to the idea of Superman hiring a defense team is Larry fucking H. Parker, hilarious.
I get you. Larry H. Parker got me $2.1 million.
Anyway, can yes.
No, so literally, the defense team would have to prove that she was actively in charge the entire time. So they'd have to literally break down the chemical. I'm assuming in that, so I haven't read that storyline. I'm assuming that storyline is she gave him some chemical compound that made her in control.
Yeah, or like a plant thing, something.
So they have to bring in plant experts to break down in front of a jury why this pheromone or this compound would somehow break. So it'd be a whole. I mean, this is literally a 4-week trial here, which is a very long trial.
Oh my god!
Yes, yes.
So basically, what you're telling me is like superheroes would like have to spend as much time out in the field as they would in the courtroom.
Which is hilarious. I saw a funny thing the other day online, no joke, about I forgot where I saw it from, but it was talking about how there's three insurance companies insuring superheroes on this much, you know, this, you know, going from there, here's your, but the thing is, like, you'd have to pull in, you know, for them to, so it couldn't just be like, you have to pool all superheroes to pay for this, otherwise the insurance company will go broke in a heartbeat. Yeah, but like...
Yeah, so it's pretty much Bruce in DC. It's pretty much Bruce Wayne.
Correct.
And, you know...
It's Bruce Wayne. It's doing a trust account.
Yeah, yes. And then I'm going to hope that Aquaman and Wonder Woman from their kingdoms can pay for shit.
With fish.
Yeah, something. Fuck. And then Marvel, I mean, it's going to be Tony Stark.
Correct, yeah. correct.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's a reason that's like, you're referencing the newest Spider-Man, you know, Tony Stark, you know, paying for the new suit that he gets and all this stuff right there, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's insane.
All right, I'm going to flip this now. I'm the interviewer. Who is your favorite superhero and why?
My favorite superhero now? Well, growing up, it was...
Growing up, in the past, and then now.
Yeah, because it's changed from the time, like... Originally, it was Spider-Man, just because I could relate to a nerd that finally
gets... Nerdy guy, of course.
Yeah, then it became Batman, because he was a billionaire. Actually, it's still kind of Batman. Not so much because of the superhero stuff, because... You know, he's a billionaire and he has access to all these toys. But for right now...
Yes.
What am I even reading? Well, you know, I'm going to go with Tony Chu.
I was going to throw that out there.
It's just like... For you haven't finished it yet.
Of course.
The whole story is fantastic.
Yeah, and I've loved it. Up to this point, I've loved
it. Yeah, and like nothing's clean about it. Like, and he feels like a real fleshed out character.
I love the side notes about Poyo.
Yeah.
That made me laugh so hard. I loved all those points.
Yeah. And it's more because like as I'm older, like I appreciate like... Because I just wanted someone... When I was younger, I wanted someone who... won all the time.
Okay.
As opposed to now where it's like, I want like a real character.
Yeah, yeah,
someone who feels like fleshed out and
properly written. All right, so keep talking. I'm going to grab another beer. Keep talking for 30
seconds. Yeah, folks, we've been drinking again since like, in this day specifically, we've been drinking since 2.
Yes. All right, I'm back.
The first place it was a steakhouse and then...
I'm back. Yeah.
I don't know. We're just probably going to keep drinking even after
also,
this.
Also, should we name the steakhouse? Is that cool?
Oh, yeah. Plug Ikenari Steakhouse.
Ikenari Steakhouse. Stand up. New York. So you eat it standing up. It's on 10th and 3rd.
Yeah. It's fast food, high-end steak. And it's so good.
And Josh and I killed a bottle of... what were we talking about earlier?
Killed a bottle of sake. Killed a few beers.
Yes.
We just get... Drinking the whole
thing. Did it, man. We did it.
And this whole week for me has been just nothing but drinking.
Yeah, Justin's liver, once again, is ready to explode.
Yeah, it literally like packed up a suitcase and walked out of my body.
Yes. Similar to if anybody wants to visualize this, there's a Nas Barkley music video on I'm forgetting the name. Just look up all the Gnarls Barkley videos and you'll find the one. There's literally one where there's an organ that cuts out of someone's chest and wine walks out. So, yes. Yes, so that's that.
Oh, man. But, I mean, it's Yeah, it's been a long day, but I'm just shocked we're having such a technical conversation about
the Very Gallies. Excited about this.
Actually, okay, here's one for a little more current.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman's immigration status or Superman's immigration status.
So to be honest, so immigration law is not something I ever touched on.
Oh, okay.
So I can't, but other current administration would say, get the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm just
and like. Then have them build the wall, much to my disdain.
Oh my God.
But I will say this though. So like, there are times, also, you know what, I'm going to go on tangent again. Why we need Wesley Snipes as Blade
in the MCU?
We need him in the MCU,
yeah,
badly, badly. There were I remember growing up when Blade was actually in one of the Spider-Man episodes.
They couldn't. I remember the cartoon couldn't say like he was a real vampire. I need plasma, not blood.
For sure.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. I remember you and I growing up with those old school X-Men and Spider-Man Saturday morning in ABC, I think it was.
Spider-Man, I think it was Fox.
Okay.
Whatever.
May have both been Fox. Yeah. Regardless. But yeah, Blade needs to be. Also, Wesley Snipes as Blade was my fucking dude. So Justin and I, no joke, I still remember this to this day. Justin and I, to get into Blade 2, we were still not 18 and it was R. We had to pay the guy in front of us to buy our tickets because he was like 30 something. He bought our tickets to get into this R movie. It was the original. I forgot it was Blade 1 or Blade 2. It was one of those.
I think it was 2.
Was it 2? I think it was 2.
It was 2.
I think it was as well.
Yeah.
And he already seen it. He's like, yeah, you'll have fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
So literally, we paid the guy. We gave the guy money. And he was cool. He didn't want to eat for himself. We offered it. But he literally was like, yeah, just give me the money for the tickets. And so he bought the Blade tickets for us, Blade 2 tickets for us. And Justin and I were able to go in and see Blade 2. We were both 17 years old. 16 years old. We both couldn't get the rated R movie yet. Yeah, that was still, fuck, man. That was how long ago? Damn it.
We're old as shit, bro.
Yes.
We're old nerdy jocks.
How are we doing on time?
We're at an hour, actually. That went by pretty quick.
All right, well, question for you now.
Okay.
One more question. Currently, what are you reading and what would you like me to read going forward?
Okay, yeah. So again, folks, we're catching up with each other.
Yeah,
that's the main thing. You got to finish Chew.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last thing. Saga, have you started?
So I've read the first. I want to talk about this earlier. I love Saga. So I have the first. One second.
He's going over to his bookshelf, folks.
So this is the Saga I have.
Oh, he's got the hardcover.
The hardcover. So the second one's out. I haven't bought it yet.
Oh, okay.
Second one's out. So it's actually funny because it's homegirl sucking on the
teeth. Yeah, she's breastfeeding. Yeah.
The second one is her picking her nose with her horns a little longer, which I think is pretty funny. But yeah, so Saga I love. I mean, I think Brian K. Vaughan, is that the
Yeah.
So Brian K. Vaughan, that's a masterpiece. Okay, that's excellent.
What else am I reading? Southern Bastards was good.
What's that one about?
So it's basically. How do I explain that one? Well.
Graphic novel.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel from Image. What else did I read recently?
Also, so recently, so
I'm trying to figure out because it's been a while since I've caught up on comics myself.
Yeah.
Let's see. Paper Girls was good. It's kind of like a Goonies sort of a Stranger Things kind of vibe to
it. Okay, very, very cool.
That one's really good.
Question for you. Have you read any of David Wong stuff in terms of Brian Dies at the End? Oh, shit, Brian. It's not even his fucking name, I feel. I have it over here somewhere. John dies at the end. Brian dies at the end. I should resign from this podcast by not knowing that his name is John. I apologize.
I'm not gonna fault you for getting stuff wrong.
It's been a long day.
We've been drinking a lot, Sean. I'm just saying.
So John dies at the end. David Wong. They made a movie out of it. The book was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Second one was actually better. I thought it was called "This Book Is Full of Spiders."
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. He just wrote a third one called "Why Would You Read This Book?" I think that's what it's called.
Uh-huh.
He's as a pseudonym. For the thing, his name's actually right. David Wan, but that's his pseudonym that he writes. And he also wrote a different book called Futuristic Violence and Fancy Suits, which was amazing. So if anybody's out there listening and wants to get in, it's not graphic novels, but actual books. It's super nerdy. They're fantastic. Look up David Wong. Read all of his stuff. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. But anyway, I digress to you.
There's Birthright, Lock and Key.
So explain to me, if you don't mind.
Lock and Key is kind of a Lovecraftian thing. It starts out with like a...
Cthulhu?
Like a family's getting... Cthulhu, yeah, it's a love... So like family is like father gets murdered and they have to move out to this like creepy ass house.
Okay.
And then Birthright is like a child, like he goes missing, but he disappeared to like this other world and he comes back as like this warrior.
Really?
Yeah.
So. Wait, like in the current time at the parents are still there?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that those were good.
Okay.
I think that's all I've read so far.
Okay.
I gotta catch up on a lot, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Hawkeye. Matt Fraction's Hawkeye.
Really?
You've got to read. That's my favorite take on the character. That's Hawkeye is my favorite Marvel character because of this.
Is it a new story? Is it building off an old?
No, it's a new story. You can just jump in.
Because I read. So I've read a lot of the Deadpool and Cables. Right.
Okay. Matt Fraction's Hawkeye is not related.
And literally,
to that.
I realize that. But the whole reason I read the Deadpool and Cables is because I know that they're gonna put Cable into the next Deadpool movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like some of the storylines get weird as shit in the Deadpool and Cable.
Yeah, they do.
Ones, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Hawkeye, you'd totally dig that.
Okay, yeah. I love that. Is it so? It's a new author taking it to a new place.
Mm-hmm. And it's you could actually see Jeremy Renner from the movies actually playing version.
Oh, very cool.
So it's actually a really cool version.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's all the time we have for this. Sean, do you have anything to plug?
I have nothing to plug. Keep watching the football.
Keep watching that NFL.
The NFL football.
It needs the help, folks.
No. We don't need the help. We were doing well.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Keep listening to this fucking podcast, because I love this man so much. I love watching the Geek... I love listening to the Geek Offensive all the fucking time. Geek Say What Network. Do the fucking thing. I will say this, though. Matt Gallett, I will own you. I will own you whenever you want to come up. El Molino High School ain't got shit on Servite, son.
Oh, shit.
Ain't got shit on Servite.
We're gonna have you in the studio, hopefully in December.
Yo, he's a cop, so if I hit him, it's a federal crime at that point.
Well, technically, okay, hit Jason then.
I used to be the DA, so it's a federal crime against me as well.
Oh, there you go.
So, hey, Civil War. Hey, Geek Offensive Civil War coming soon.
He has no pull. He's only going through academy. You're not going to...
I'm just kidding. Matt, I fucking... Matt Gal, I love you. Shout out to you. I will say, shout out to any listeners out there. Please, if you haven't read The Sandman by Neil Gaiman, mm-hmm. I think it's missing in your life. No joke. Like Justin said, like it's literally... there's been times I've cried in it. Like literally, mm-hmm. I've cried at certain points. So like it's a brilliant... Neil Gaiman... Shameless plug, Neil Gaiman, I think, in my opinion, is the greatest. American God. Watch American Gods. It's brilliant. All of it's brilliant. So that's my plug, I guess. I can't plug myself because I'm not really on anything else, but
right.
I will plug my favorite author.
Okay. How about that? All right. And then you can find me on Instagram at Justin Malari, on Twitter at Justin_Malari. Shout out to Wayland Productions because they didn't help us out with this episode, obviously, because I'm out in New York. But in general, they help us out. They share space with us, let us use their equipment. Shout out to Jordan Dene, our apparel sponsor, who she's out of Brooklyn, New York. Geek apparel sponsor, eco-friendly. Check her out, jordandene.com. Check out the other two shows on the Geek Say What Network. We have a Geek AO hosted by Justin Madriaga and Ish, and Ready Set Geek hosted by Alex Gallet. And then shout out to Marley Rosner, who does all our original music. And I think that's everything, man. This was so much fun.
I have one more shout out.
Go for it.
Shout out to the Dodgers. Fuck the Astros.
Fuck the Astros.
Fuck fucking fuck
Yuli.
Fuck Asian racism. Fuck all that shit. Listen.
Yeah.
Asian has been a connection right here. Myself, my Mexican ass, and Justin's Asian ass, we got this shit.
Fuck yeah.
Anybody has a problem with that, they can fucking come deal with us.
There you
go.
Don't forget to rate, comment, subscribe, and join the offensive. Thank you, everybody.